The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you for that, Brother Josh. And let's look again there in Esther chapter number 8 and verse number 9, Esther chapter 8 and chapter 9. And notice here again, follow along with me, Esther chapter 8, verse number 17. We'll read it again just for clarity's sake. And it says, in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness. Can I tell you, God wants his people to have joy and gladness. But can I tell you, it's amazing how many folks lose their joy, lose their gladness, and it's a drudgery sometimes to live the Christian life. But the Bible says here that the Jews, God's people, had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And watch this, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. So it was a good day when God's people influenced other people. And can I tell you, when you're having a bad day, a lot of times we don't want to witness because we oftentimes are so overwhelmed and consumed with our own burdens and problems that we're not interested in helping someone with the main problem, which is that they're dying and lost and on their way to hell. Esther chapter 9, verse number 19, again says, therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month, Adar, a day of gladness and feasting. I like that feasting part. I love it when we have dinner on the grounds, banana pudding. That's my favorite right there. And it says, and a good day, and watch this, and of sending portions one to another. It was a good day when God's people reached out to each other and tried to be a blessing. Bible says they sent portions one to another. They enjoyed the day so much that they decided that they were going to make it a yearly holiday. Don't you want to have more good days than bad days? When you're having a bad day, you don't want to be a blessing. And you're so discouraged, depressed, disappointed, despondent that you're looking for others to be a blessing to you instead of you being a blessing to somebody else. Here in Esther chapter 9, verse number 22, says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy. God wants to take your sorrow, and he wants to turn it to joy. Amen. And it says, then from mourning into a good day. God wants to take your mourning, and he wants to put it into a good day. That they should make them days of feasting and joy. It was so good, they put it in there twice. And of sending portions one to another. But watch this, and gifts to the poor. It was a good day when God's people reached out to each other and tried to meet each other's needs, especially those less fortunate than they themselves. See, when you're having a bad day, you don't look for someone who's having a worse time in life than you are to try to bear their burden because you're focused on your own trials in life and struggling under the weight and care of your own burden that it almost handcuffs you and hinders you from winning souls, from being an encouragement to another believer, and even to reach out and help somebody that's having a worse day than what you're having. I'm saying tonight that we need to turn the frown upside down so that we can be a help and not a hurt, so that we can be an encourager and not a discourager, so that we can serve and not sulk, so that we can be busy and not be a busybody, so that we can witness and not whine, so that we can be on top side and not a pain in somebody else's side, so that we can lift someone up and not tear someone down, so that we can move forward in our Christian life and stop moving backwards, so that we can keep our focus on the Lord and not focus on ourselves. I'm talking about turn the frown upside down. I'm talking about having a bad day, which we all have them, but you don't have to stay there, and the joy of the Lord can get you out of that pit that you're in. We need, as a church and as believers, to turn the frown upside down. So how is it that we're going to turn a bad day into a good day? Turn a frown upside down. Turn sorrow into joy. Turn mourning into rejoicing. Watch this, regardless of the situation. Well, Brother Craig, you don't know my situation, though, but I know somebody who does. Can I say, well, you haven't walked a mile in my shoes. Listen, the Bible says we have not a high priest that's not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. He knows what you're going through. And guess what? He's been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt. But oftentimes we don't turn to the Lord. We get swallowed up in misery. And listen, we love misery. And the Bible, or not the Bible, I've heard this. My mama probably said this. It wasn't in the Bible. Misery loves company. Amen. When we're miserable, we want everybody around us to be miserable. And we want to tie them into our problems, not realizing that we ought to be trying to bear their problems rather than dumping our problems on them. Let's look tonight at some people in the Bible and what they were going through and how they made it through and what made a difference in their lives to turn their frown upside down. So how can I turn my frown upside down when a personal crisis has come into my life? Number one, open your eyes and see the solution. Quit focusing on the problem. Open your eyes and see the solution. Don't just keep staring at the problem. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 14 through 19, we have the record of where Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away with some bread and a bottle of water. And the water runs out, and so Hagar casts the child under a bush and goes a little ways off and begins to lift up her voice and weep because she and her son have been cast away, and now they're going to die of thirst out in the desert. God said in verse 17 through 19 of Genesis 21, it says, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." Verse number 18, "Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." Verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." Don't you imagine that well of water was there the whole time? It was there the whole time. And yet she was focused and staring at her problem that me and my son are castaways, we're outcasts, we're out here in the desert, the water's dried up, oh, woe is me, and I'm having a bad day. And I imagine we'd have been right there having a bad day right there with her. The well of water was already there, but it took God opening her eyes to see it. And see, the thing about it is, the solution is right there if we just open our eyes and look for it. But I think sometimes we keep our focus and we keep staring at the problem that we don't realize when we're reading God's word that guess what? There's a solution in there. By the way, the Bible has a solution, an answer for every problem. Well, God can't change my situation. God can change your situation. Well, there's no hope where I'm at. There's always hope with the Lord. If you're still living and breathing, amen, guess what? God's still on the throne and he ain't dead, amen. Can I tell you, open your eyes and look for the solution. Listen, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Anybody can sit in a church pew and point out problems and things that need fixing around the church, but it's just only a few people that rise up and do something about it. Can I tell you, listen, we don't need pew sitters or bench warmers to point out the problem and stare at the problem. We need some folks that will rise up as a mighty army of God and say, I'm going to lift up the hands of my preacher. I'm going to get behind him. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to serve. Amen. That's what we need. So how am I going to turn my frown upside down? Well, I'm going to have to open my eyes and see the solution and quit staring at the problem. Number two, open your eyes and look for opportunity to do good. Don't look for opportunity to get even. Open your eyes and look for opportunity to do good. Don't look for opportunity to get even. In Genesis chapter 27, we have the record of where Isaac is on his deathbed and he has Esau go out and get venison so that he can enjoy a meal and then bless him. But his brother Jacob connives with their mama and steals the blessing. And then in verse 38, the Bible says this, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Guess what he was having? He was having a bad day. Amen. I mean, his brother done connived and he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, amen. And now Jacob done stooped so down low to steal his blessing. He's having a bad day. Now, how's he going to turn his frown upside down? Well, verse 41, the Bible says of Genesis chapter 27, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand." Dad's fixing to check out. "Then will I slay my brother Jacob." He had so much hatred in his heart that he said, "I'm going to get even." Can I remind you, the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Can I remind you, the book of Proverbs says, "Say not, I will render evil." Amen. We ought not be one that's going for looking for opportunity, just the right moment to get even with somebody. What we ought to do is we ought to have some forgiveness in our heart. And what we ought to have is some realizing that, hey, we're human, we make mistakes too. And though somebody has hurt me and wounded me deeply, I'm going to look for opportunity to do good. Dr. Howell said this. He said if some preacher in America got cantankerous with him, guess what? And they got all their feelings all out of sorts, and he knew that they was rising up against me, he'd send them a Bible. Amen. Why? Because that was not for that preacher that was getting cantankerous. That was to keep his heart right with God and right with that brother. Listen, there's no two people in this world that's going to agree on everything. In fact, most of you don't agree on anything. Amen. Can I tell you, though, that though you have disagreements and though you don't see eye to eye on things and though people rub you the wrong way and though you get hurt and you get your feelings hurt, can I tell you that you ought to look for opportunity to do good? Why? To keep your heart right. Say, but they did me bad. Yeah, but that don't mean you have to return the favor. My mama always told me two wrongs don't make a right. How many's mama told you that? Amen. Must be universal, amen, because we're always trying to figure that out so we can do wrong and still be right. But you know, the Bible says, listen, if you ought not be hating your brother in your heart, said it might as well killed him. Amen. Listen, can I tell you that if I'm going to be able to turn a bad day into a good day and turn my frown upside down, the first thing I'm going to have to do is open my eyes and see the solution and quit staring at the problem. Number two, I'm going to have to open my eyes and look for opportunity to do good, even though I want to get even. Number three, well, let me back up. Later on, after Esau gets his blessing stolen, and years later, after Esau has in his heart a bunch of hatred and bitterness towards his brother and is looking for opportunity to get even, later on, years had passed, and the two brothers meet again. Of course, Jacob is shaking in his boots. He knows that Esau is harboring bitterness, and he's gonna kill me as soon as he sees me. And so he kind of gets a few people up and puts them out in front. And that way, if the first group gets themselves weed whacked, he can have time to cut tail and run. Amen. But listen, that's not what happened. Esau wasn't like most of us. He didn't harbor bitterness. He'd gotten over it. Amen. He said, the past is the past, and he buried it. In Genesis chapter 33, verse 4, it says, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Now, first Esau in Genesis chapter 27, he was weeping for what his brother did over him. Amen. He got mad as the dickens, whoever that is. And he got mad, and he said, I'm hating him so much, I'm looking for opportunity. I'm going to kill him as soon as we put daddy 6 feet under. But years later, why does it take years later to make relationships right? Amen. Why does it take years later? Well, they hadn't talked to me. Have you talked to them? It took two to get into it. It's going to take two to get out of it. But what you're doing is you say, well, they hurt my feelings, and they're not talking to me, and they're giving me the silent treatment. You're doing the same thing by not picking up the telephone or driving over to their house and making things right. The Bible says if you know your brother has all against you, you ought to go meet with them face to face and not share it with somebody else. It's amazing how many other people in the room probably know what your relationship problems is, and you hadn't even gone to the one that you had the relationship problem with to take care of it. Listen, if we just simply get God involved and get the Bible and do what it says, it would sort out a lot of wrinkles in your problems. Number three, open your eyes and see your problems as a part of God's plan. Open your eyes and see your problems as a part of God's plan. Don't hold on to grudges or harbor bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart towards others. In Genesis chapter 50, we have Joseph who said this, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. See, Joseph had a lot of bad days in his life. A whole lot worse than what we get upset about. Amen. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers because they despised his dreams. He was thrown into jail because of false accusations. He was forgotten by the butler after he'd interpreted his dream. Yet he didn't hold grudges or become bitter because of being mistreated, but rather said that God meant it for good. How are you going to get victory? How are you going to turn your frown upside down? How are you going to quit sucking your thumb, take your thumb out, put a smile on your face? How's that going to happen in our lives? Well, we're going to have to start seeing that our problems are a part of God's plan. Can I remind you that in the life of Job that the devil kept going and went, and God said, listen, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, he's a just and upright man, a perfect man. He's mature. He loves me. And he said, well, that he only is in good with you because you blessed him. Boy, you take that hedge that you've got around him and you take it off his life and he'll curse you to your face. He said, all right, I'm going to take the hedge off. Why? It was a proving time. And listen, his own wife said, curse God and die. Yeah. But yet Job said, listen, blessed be the name of the Lord. I came in the world naked. I'm going to leave naked. He's given. He's taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, we don't like problems. And I'm sure he didn't, you know, he wasn't smiling and posting it on Facebook about how he was enjoying his trials and tribulations. Yeah. I don't believe he was. They didn't have Facebook. Amen. But I will tell you this, there wasn't no Facebook, but he had his face in the book. Amen. He had a walk with the Lord. It was many times when those other friends, you know, sat down and be quiet, and then that's what God spoke to him. Amen. He stayed true to God, though he was having a bad day. Can I tell you, how are we going to turn our frown upside down? We're going to have to open our eyes and see that our problems are a part of God's plan. Because Job remained faithful and true and loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God Almighty through those trials and tribulations, God blessed him a whole heap more than what he had before. Amen. Listen, God's got blessings in your life. You might be going through a trial right now, but can I tell you, there's blessings on the other side if you'll just let him try you and stay true. So how are we going to turn that frown upside down? How are we going to turn a good day into a bad day into a good day? Well, number one, we're going to have to open our eyes and see the solution. Quit staring at the problem. Open our eyes and look for opportunity to do good. Don't look for opportunity to get even. Open our eyes and see our problems as part of God's plan. Don't hold on to grudges or harbor bitterness or unforgiveness in my heart towards others. I ought to get it right. By the way, the Bible says if you don't forgive your brother, he won't forgive you. You want God holding something against you? You just keep holding on what you're holding on to. Amen. Listen, I think we've treated God a whole heap worse than what somebody's treated us. We ought to just get right. Amen. Number four, open your eyes and see the choice before you to leave or to stay. And decide to stay where truth is. Open your eyes and see the choice before you to leave or stay. You know, everybody that's had a bad day has thought about quitting. Amen. Amen. I've heard preachers say it's every Monday morning. You know? Can I tell you, everybody, when they have a bad day, it's the temptation to tuck tail and run and not have to face it. Can I tell you, you're going to have problems on the other side of the fence just like you got problems on this side of the fence. Amen. Amen. So open your eyes and see the choice before you to leave or stay. We find in Naomi's life, she goes down with her husband to Moab. Her husband dies, her two sons die, and all that is left is her and her two daughter-in-laws. She gets ready to go back home, and she bids farewell to her two daughter-in-laws. It was a bad day. Bible says they embraced and they wept. And she tells them, listen, you need to just go on back to your people. There's no sense in going with me because I'm old. I have no husband to bear another son so that you might marry him when he grows up. I have nothing to offer you. Orpah and Ruth have a choice. Do I stay or do I leave? Orpah leaves and goes back to her old ways, her old people, and her old gods. Now, mind you, Naomi, though, that family was not exactly right with God. They should have never went to Moab in the first place. They should have just stayed and trusted God to take care of their needs. But even then, guess what? Ruth says, listen, your God will be my God. How did she know she had a God? Because even though she had made a bad decision, guess what? She was still somewhat of a testimony. And Ruth said this, said, I'm going to cleave unto you. Ruth clave unto Naomi and decided to stay where the true and living God was and where truth was. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 through 17, the Bible says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Verse 15, she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth 1:16 says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She made up her mind that though I have a choice, and by the way, there's been some people in this room right here, and you're heartbroken because you had a close friend or a close family member that has not stayed. And can I tell you, my heart bleeds for you. But can I tell you, we might as well just hunker down and realize that, hey, this is where the truth is. Amen. It ought to be like that old prodigal son. He went out there and wasted his living with riotous living and spent all that he had. But guess what? One day he woke up. Amen. And he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty to eat? I will arise and go to... Guess what? They didn't sell the farm. They didn't compromise. They just stayed put. Now, guess what? Daddy was in his rocking chair looking down the lane after the work day was over. And one day he saw the silhouette of the prodigal son coming back down the driveway. And the Bible says he rose up and ran to him and kissed him. And that was a great day. But it was a bad day whenever his prodigal son said, listen, I'm tired of living here and I don't want what you want and I want what's mine and I'm getting out of here and I'm going to sow my wild oats. And he did, and he didn't have nothing left over once he sold them either. But guess what? At least he had somebody to come back to. Train up a child in the way he is going, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Amen. So if I got friends and I got family and they're not sticking by the old fundamental Bible way, guess what? You just stay put. You choose to stay. And that's a bad day and a sad day when they decide to part and go their way. But can I tell you, you can turn it into a glad day, because one day if you're still here and you stay put and you stay faithful, one day they might show back up. Amen. Will you be here when it happens?
Amen.
Number 5, open your eyes and seek counsel from the man of God about your problem. Open your eyes and seek counsel from the man of God about your problem. Don't struggle alone and continue in misery when things are not going the way you plan. Open your eyes and seek counsel from the man of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find Hannah in the temple praying for a child. She was barren. Bible says in verse 10 that she was in bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was having a bad day. Eli, the man of God, saw her over there, and she says, my goodness, this is the middle of the morning. Looks like this woman's done drunk. That's in the KWC verse. Eli, the man of God, saw her praying and approached afterwards, and she shared her burden with the man of God. And after receiving counsel from the man of God, in verse 17, she said in verse 18, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. See, she started out in the temple. She was having a bad day, but she listened to the sermon, amen, and lifted her spirits. Been many a day that we'll have a bad day. We'll come to church anyway, and guess what? By the end of the service, we're feeling a little bit better. Yeah. Folks that are having a bad day, and they say, I'm not darkening the door of the church. I don't want everybody to know that I'm mad and sad and upset. I don't want them to know, and guess what? You don't get the help that you dearly needed. So when you're having a bad day and you're having a problem that you can't seem to find an answer for, listen, she's there praying, eyes clenched tight, and as soon as she opened her eyes, she saw the man of God over there. He came over to her and said, hey, what's the problem? Are you drunk? And she said, oh, no, I'm not drunk. I've got a problem. I'm in bitterness and so on. And she shared that with him. He said, listen, go back home. Everything's going to be all right. And then guess what? She began to eat. Her countenance was better, and it lifted her spirit, and the Bible says she was no more sad. So how am I going to turn my frown upside down? Guess what? I'm going to have to open my eyes and realize there's people around me that love me and care about me and want to help me. And guess what? I need to seek counsel from them. Listen, it's been many times where I have a tough time. I go into the preacher's office and he spends about, 5 minutes. He just got a perspective about him. Amen. Why? Because he's an under-shepherd. He's up in a helicopter and he sees it all. Guess what? You're just focusing on your problem. Guess what? He can make a more rational decision based on the Bible principle that can lift your soul if you'll go and talk to him.
Amen.
Well, he can't help my problem. That's your problem. You won't go to him because you don't think he can help your problem. Therefore, you don't get the help you need.
Amen.
So how am I going to turn my frown upside down? How am I, if I'm having a bad day, and we all have them, how am I going to have a good day? Well, number one, I'm going to have to open my eyes and see the solution. Quit staring at the problem. Number two, I'm going to have to open my eyes and look for opportunity to do good, not for opportunity to get even. Number three, I'm going to have to open my eyes and see my problems as part of God's plan and quit holding grudges and harbor bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. I'm going to have to open my eyes to see the choice before me to leave or stay, and I'm just going to decide to stay where truth is. Then I'm going to have to open my eyes and seek counsel from the man of God about my problem and see my burdens be lifted. Number six. Open your eyes and see that there are others who need your help on the other side of the problem. Open your eyes and see that there are others who need your help on the other side of the problem. Can I tell you, listen, if you don't get the help you need, there's going to be a whole heap of other people that don't get the help they need because they're looking to you for help. Their eyes are on you. You're the ones that's closest to them. And if you don't get the help you need, how in the world are you going to help them get the help they need? Open your eyes and see that there are others who need your help on the other side of the problem. Don't grieve yourself into a place where you dwell on the past and never start living life again. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have the record of David and Bathsheba, and the child dies as a consequence for their sin, and it was a bad day. And the Bible says he wouldn't eat, and he was weeping, and he was he refused to be comforted. And David begged God to keep the child alive, but the Bible says once he was gone, he soon went on living life and did not dwell on the past. And everybody thought he was crazy. But because he said, listen, in verse 22 and 23 of 2 Samuel 12, it says, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Listen, I'm not negating the fact that that was a tremendous bad day. I'm not negating the fact that there had to be some time of grief and weeping over what had happened. But eventually, they got up and they brushed themselves off and they decided to start living again instead of dwelling on the past. In verse 24, the Bible says, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. You see, that child died, and that was a bad day. But how did they turn the frown upside down? How did they turn the bad day into a good day? It was because they got back up and they started living life again. And though they were hindered before because of their grief, and they were held back because of their sorrow, eventually they got out of that grieving state and went on and started living life. Why? Because there was Solomon. Listen, the Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived. Amen. Now, I know he was grown and he asked for that himself, but don't you imagine David had a little bit of wisdom that he gave Solomon? He taught Solomon about something about God so that Solomon would know what to ask for. So what I need to do when I need to turn the frown upside down, I need to see that there are others who need your help. David and Bathsheba started living life again because now they have Solomon to pour their life into. Life went on. They started living life again. Now Solomon needed their attention, but they had dwelt on their past mistakes and the consequences of those choices. Listen, if that's where they would have stayed and they'd never started living life again and never focused in on Solomon, only focused on the child that was lost, can I tell you, they could have never moved on to help Solomon, who needed him most. Number 7, open your eyes and see that the Lord answers prayers and can change any situation. Talking about how to turn your frown upside down. How to turn your bad day into a good day, and we all have them. Open your eyes and see that the Lord answers prayers and can change any situation. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, the Bible says this, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now that's a bad day. I mean, this wasn't the doctor coming in and telling me he only had 6 months to live. This was the Lord Almighty coming in. Hey, let's set your house in order. And guess what? You're getting ready to kick the bucket and check out. You just might as well face it. Verse number 2, he says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was having a bad day, pouring out his heart to the Lord. Verse 4, and it came to pass, for Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. So he turned to the Lord. He's having a bad day. He just got an announcement. Hey, set your house in order. You're going to die. He turned his face to the wall and he began to pour out his prayer to the Lord. By the way, he wasn't pouring his prayer out to somebody else that couldn't do nothing about it. Amen. And that's what we do. We use God as our last resort. We start praying for him when nothing else worked. Listen, we ought not to pour our heart out to somebody else and dump our burdens on them when they can have no wherewithal to do anything about it. We ought to take it to the Lord, because the Lord and prayer can change any situation. So how am I going to turn my frown upside down? How am I going to turn my bad day into a good day? Well, first of all, I'm going to have to open my eyes and see the solution. Quit staring at the problem. Number two, I'm going to have to open my eyes and look for opportunity to do good and quit looking for opportunities to get even. I'm going to have to open my eyes and see my problems as a part of God's plan and get over the grudge and give over the bitterness and get over the unforgiveness and get right. I'm going to have to open my eyes and see the choice before me to leave or stay while others around me may leave. Help me to decide to stay put. I'm going to have to open my eyes and seek counsel from the man of God about my problem. I'm going to have to open my eyes and see that there are others who need my help on the other side of the problem. And if I don't get over the past and get over what has happened and start living life again, guess what? I won't be able to be a help to them. I need to open my eyes and see that the Lord answers prayers and can change any situation. Next, open your eyes and see how sinful you are and how holy God is enough to get right. Open your eyes and see how sinful you are and how holy God is enough to get right. Listen, don't open your eyes and just enough to get upset that you're being called out on your sin. That no doubt the preacher's going to get up and preach on your sin. He's going to get up and preach on my sin. He's going to step on our toes and spit in your eyeball and sit in your lap, as he often says. And I mean, he's going to plow the corn, amen. Listen, you ought to open your eyes and see how sinful you are and how holy God is enough to get right about what's preached on. Not just open your eyes to see that, wow, he did everything but call my name and get upset. Amen. Because you got called out. Most of us get upset when we get caught. And what we ought to do is we ought to turn ourselves into the Lord and get God's forgiveness and claim his forgiveness and move on for the Lord is what we ought to do. In Luke chapter number 22, Peter has just denied the Lord three times. And in verse 61 and 62, the Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitter. He was having a bad day. He just denied the Lord three times. And as soon as that rooster crowed, he turned and the Lord was looking at him and they locked eyes. And he remembered the word of the Lord and he went out and wept bitterly. Can I tell you, God wants us to open our eyes and see how sinful we are and how holy God is enough to get right. The Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. He was regretting what he did. It was a bad day in his life because he had just denied the Lord in his speech and in his actions. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 72, it describes the same scenario. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And watch this. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And so when the rooster crowed, him and the Lord locked eyes. And then the Bible says he remembered the word of the Lord. And then the Bible says in the book of Mark that when he thought on the word of the Lord, the Bible says he wept. If we would think just as much before we sin as we do after, we might not go ahead and give in to temptation. You ever done something that you know you shouldn't do and you keep doing it? It's your besetting sin and you keep falling flat on your face every time. And it seems like you're at the altar and the only thing you pray about is that besetting sin because you done fell again in that particular area. And you say, is God ever going to give up on me? No, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. That means every time you come to him with the same sin. But guess what? Eventually he wants you to get victory. Amen. Eventually he wants you to overcome. Eventually, he wants you to be that just man who falls seven times and rises again instead of laying down. And then what we do is we carry around a burden on our shoulder, and for 3 weeks, we're burdened down and grieving. And all the time, people are dying and going to hell. All the time, people around us are hurting, and we're not helping. All the time, we aren't looking for opportunities to be a help. Why? Because we're so grieved over our failures that we don't have the wherewithal inside of us to go ahead and help. So if we think just as much before we sin as we do after, we might not go ahead and do it. Can I remind you that we know that he got right because it wasn't too long after the resurrection of Jesus that he preached on the day of Pentecost. God forgave him and used him again, and thank God for that. Amen. Now, why do you reckon that God forgave him and used him again? Because Peter and him locked eyes and he remembered the word of the Lord and he thought about what he did and he went out and wept and he got right. David was called a man after God's own heart, not because he was a perfect man, but because when he was confronted with his sin, he got right. Listen, you're not spiritual just if you're just, you know, trying to be perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. But some of us think if we're not spiritual unless we're perfect. No, we're going to falter. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. Just how quick do you get right when you make those mistakes is going to determine how close you are to God. Last one is this. Open our eyes and see that the Lord is alive and He's well and He can give victory over every problem. In Mark chapter 16, the crucifixion had just passed. And it was a sad and a bad day in their lives as they approached the sepulcher to come and anoint the body of Jesus. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene first, and she went back to the rest of them and said, "He's alive!" But the Bible says they believed not. And He told them He was going to, listen, son, man's going to be lifted up. He's going to be crucified. I'm going to stay in the grave 3 days, but I'm going to come back. They heard all that, but they didn't believe it or they weren't paying attention. How am I going to turn my frown upside down? Because most of us are this way. We don't believe that God is alive and well. We don't believe that He can win the victory in our life. We believe God can do something in somebody else's life, but my situation is a little bit different. Right. Listen, the Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. And the Bible says He gives an escape. Everybody's got problems in their life. Some people get victory. Some people live in defeat. Can I tell you, how am I going to turn my frown upside down? Well, I'm going to have to realize that God is alive and well, and there's no situation that He cannot fix. By the way, it was in Luke chapter 8 that He raised a little girl from the dead. It was in John chapter 11 that He raised a grown man from the dead. So it doesn't matter whether it is a small or a big problem. God can help you overcome. He can make the difference. It doesn't matter if you've had the problem a little while or a long while. God can make a difference in your situation if you'll open your eyes. So how can we turn the frown upside down? Well, we need to open our eyes and see the solution. Quit staring at the problem. You start putting the answer into practice, you can turn your frown upside down. You can turn a bad day into a good day if you want to. Number two, open your eyes and look for opportunity to do good and don't try to get even with someone who's hurt you. If you start doing good and getting better rather than bitter, you can turn your frown upside down and turn your bad day into a good day if you want to. You need to open your eyes and see your problems as a part of God's plan, and He will work it out for good. And don't hold grudges or harbor bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart towards others. You start seeing your problems as part of God's plan and looking for what you can learn from it. You can turn your frown upside down, and you can turn a bad day into a good day if you want to. You can open your eyes and see the choice before you and decide to stay close to God, stay close to the house of God, stay close to the man of God, stay close to the will of God, regardless if others quit or run the other way. You start taking steps towards God rather than towards your friends or towards self, then guess what you can do? You can turn your frown upside down and you can turn a bad day into a good day if you want to. Listen, what else should you do? Open your eyes and seek counsel from the man of God about your problem. You start seeking counsel from the man of God and you can turn your frown upside down. You can turn a bad day into a good day if you want to. Open your eyes and see that there are others who need your help on the other side of your problem. You start focusing on others rather than self, you can turn your frown upside down. You can turn a bad day into a good day if you want to. If you open your eyes and see that the Lord is alive and well and He can make the difference and give you victory and help you overcome, listen, you start looking for His help rather than others' help and who can't help you anyhow, guess what? You can start turning your frown upside down. Turn your bad day into a good day if you want to. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about turning your frown upside down. Turning a bad day into a good day. The songwriter said it this way. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. See, most of us are in bondage right now because we're sucking our thumb over something bad that's happened instead of getting over it. Amen. He says, silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. He said in verse 2, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the scriptures fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. I think the songwriter was very clear and had a very clear look. He said, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine my spirit illumine me, my spirit divine. All of the examples that we looked at tonight all had one thing in common. Their problem got solved because they got God involved. But we're facing our problem, and we feel like we're all alone, and nobody can help, and there's no hope, and why even try anymore? I think I'll quit. I think I'll give in. There's no hope. Can I tell you, there's always hope with the Lord. And if these people in the Bible got their problem solved when they got God involved, well, then by George, whoever he is, your problem can get solved if you'll get God involved.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.